In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Christian perspective on life and death is very different from that of the secular world. In our society, the pro-life teachings of the Catholic Church are routinely mocked. On many crucial issues, such as contraception, abortion, divorce, fornication, homosexuality, euthanasia, and assisted suicide, among others, Catholic teaching is directly opposed to the views of the postmodern culture and even to the legal statutes in many countries. People today often prefer simply to put their trust in science and technology and to ignore the deeper issues which are always involved in matters of life and death. In his encyclical, The Gospel of Life, Pope John Paul II said, "Faced with the countless grave threats to life present in the modern world, one could feel overwhelmed. Good can never be powerful enough to triumph over evil." But the Pope goes on to tell us that every believer is called upon to profess with humility and courage his faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Word of Life. The Gospel of Life, then, is not a set of academic reflections, nor is it a series of commandments or legal prohibitions. The Gospel of Life consists in the proclamation of the very person of Jesus, who said to the Apostle Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life," and who told Martha, the sister of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus is the Son who, from all eternity, receives life from the Father, and who came into our world to heal the wounds of sin and division, so that we might share his gift of new and everlasting life. "I came," he said, "that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Jesus not only preached the gospel of life, but he brought health and healing into our world, just as he healed the 10 lepers in today's gospel reading. And there is a certain pathos in that reading, because 10 are healed, but only one comes back to thank him. What happened to the other 9, I wonder? Well, perhaps went on to become the editor of the New York Times, or another a Supreme Court justice, and yet another a Nobel Prize-winning scientist. Well, I'm joking, of course, but I do find it strange that those who occupy positions of power and privilege in our society are, like the lepers, so often contemptuous of the gifts they have received. The lepers received a miraculous gift of healing and the opportunity to begin a new life, and yet they seem totally oblivious of the Lord's kindness. And we can see that same attitude of selfishness and ingratitude everywhere around us. We have been given this most holy and precious gift of life, and how do we use it? In lust and violence, in frivolity and mindless entertainments. Too often we turn our eyes away from the suffering, and if the poor, the sick, and the lonely threaten to become inconvenient, we ignore them, we lock them up, and finally, we kill them. We cannot avoid sin by pretending that it does not exist, nor will death spare us because we ignore it. We are only redeemed from sin and death by the Paschal mystery, the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Only by participation in that mystery of faith, which transforms our whole lives, can we truly thank God for the gift of our creation and begin to live that new and abundant and eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Only by sharing in the sacrifice of Jesus, in the pain and suffering he endured for our sake, only by dying to self and living for others, can we discover who we truly are and the purpose for which we were created. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.